I tried a few songs. I used a thing called Songer, I think, and it just put in the genres I wanted. And then I put like my chickens are pecking and scratching on the front with my cats or something like that, even. And I ended up with a country song. And it's a bit silly. It doesn't transport you to the quantum field.
I noticed.
But you get a giggle, right?
Yes.
Got a thumbs up.
You get a thumbs
You
up.
get a thumbs up from
It's
Yes. Yeah, but while it was entertaining and it's silly, I actually haven't even myself listened to the complete song, and I'm never transported to the quantum field.
Welcome to the Driving to the Rest podcast. This is Inelia.
And this is Larry. Just a quick note, if you're hearing this, you're on our free feed, which means you'll only get the first part of this conversation.
To access the rest, go to drivingtotherest.com and subscribe to the Wisdom Keeper Hour.
Join us and our expert panelists for detailed insights and the after party where you're invited to join in the conversation. Head over to drivingtotherest.com and become a subscriber.
Your $8 subscription keeps this podcast ad-free and helps us keep the lights on and maybe even get a decent cup of coffee. More importantly, it connects you with a community of passionate wisdom keepers like yourself. So if you're ready to go deeper, join us at drivingtotherest.com and support the journey.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
I have to say, we've been having a little bit of trouble getting started this week.
Yeah.
I think we've been distracted by our high frequency music. It's easy to get distracted.
Yes.
So, what do you want to talk about this week?
I would like to talk to Flow to Me, which is an album that I created with different synthesized teams of singers.
Okay.
And musicians.
Well, Flow to Me. I know you've written an article, so let's have a go at reading.
Okay. Flow to Me, where creativity meets quantum manifestation.
Okay. That's quite the statement.
Yeah, well, I've been saying that I'm going to talk about quantum manifestation for a while now. And it's just
I remember hearing
right
you say
time.
That. Yeah, I remember you saying something about quantum manifestation, because we've done manifestation workshops.
We have done
instant manifestation workshops. We've done manifesting through your physical body, through mental bodies, through all kinds of different bodies, but not quantum.
Well, I have mentioned the name a few times now for years.
Yeah, I say
it. It felt to me that it wasn't quite ready to come through. And I didn't know why. How come it doesn't matter what words I use, it's not coming through?
What?
Yeah. So it's like, it doesn't matter what I said.
No.
I would talk about quantum manifestation and it would go whoosh over people's heads, or they wouldn't even hear it.
Or they would forget it.
Or they would forget it instantly.
Yeah. And even those who didn't forget it, they only remember it at like the time where it can't be talked about. It's like you're in the middle of, I don't know, getting ready to go to the bathroom. It's like, can we talk about quantum manifestation? No.
Did that ever happen to you?
Well, no, but I'm using that as an example. I've watched people ask you questions like this, the ones that maybe remember, and they will ask you at a time when it's like, I can't write this second, right? Yeah. It's like, can't get into it right now. So it's like a time where you ask it, but they can't get the answer. It's very similar.
So in your example, I was going to the bathroom.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was the other person going to the bathroom.
No, what I'm saying is that the challenge to getting this information out has to do with the people. Either they don't remember it or they do remember it. They remember to ask it at inopportune times, which I often
I think
will do.
It's translated as the human collective. And I think today was a perfect example. We've been trying to get ready to do this recording for hours.
Well, hours today and all week.
Yes.
This is Saturday afternoon.
Our studio was supposed to be set up and it all looked good. But the computer wasn't recording sound. And it was all ching, 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 ching. The camera was all weird.
Camera's
like,
weird.
Okay, let's just put that away.
Audio wouldn't output.
Let's put the computer, laptop
I shut off the Wi-Fi, so I had to turn it back on. And I sent the file to my other computer because maybe that one will end it. It didn't have a VLC or whatever the heck that is. So I had to go find that app, but I got that app in.
No, you didn't. You got the wrong
I
app.
got the wrong app, but it managed to make it work. So it come in, it played exactly no sound.
No
And tick,
sound.
tick, tick,
Yes. So
tick,
it
tick, tick.
wasn't our computer or anything. It just wasn't recording.
It's just the same
Yes,
resistances.
resistances. Yeah. And
So,
wet.
yeah. Yes,
That
we had
hasn't happened in the
nice
past.
yummy eggs. So yeah, this is Saturday afternoon. This is something we like to have done by Wednesday.
Yes.
Yes. So
Shall I read a little bit and then we can go for it? Or did you
yes.
want to?
Let's go for it. I
Okay.
mean, let's just see if we can read it. Hopefully the computer battery don't die. Oh, it's getting low. Go fast, honey.
Okay, I'll go fast. Some weeks ago, Larry sent me a short video from a creator who shares Abraham Hicks inspired content. Can you make a song out of this? He asked. I pressed play and laughed. The clip was all about being in the flow. Not their words, not mine, but a truth humanity has carried since the beginning of time. Why do you want the song about this? The video already says it beautifully, I replied. But even as I said it, I understood the reason. Songs don't just repeat ideas, they embody them. A melody can carry a teaching straight into the heart, bypassing debate, description, or doubt. A song can transport you into the quantum fields of manifestation, while written or spoken words can't. Not just songs, but art in all forms is able to reach directly into our world, generating power of co-creation.
So we can learn about quantum manifestation techniques by being transported to that place through song.
Or art in general.
But in this case,
Song.
song, because
Music. Yes. This
that's
is
what
the
you
song that was
predict.
created. Yeah. Yeah,
Okay.
we did. We did. The way I express this universal concept of being in the flow is explained best through a story of an experience I had as a little kid. Would you like to hear it, honey?
Yes. I would like to hear this story, this story.
Okay.
You're a child.
Yes. It was in the late 1960s, and I didn't want to eat my dinner.
So you were like four, three.
Three. Which was not a new thing.
I've heard the stories.
As a tiny kid, I barely ate anything. We can talk about that if you like. Why didn't I eat?
Well, there were
This
multiple
makes
reasons,
you,
right? I
yeah.
mean, it gets a little off track, but not too much because it's kind of related to the whole reason it's so hard to get this podcast done in a sense, but go for it.
Why do you say it's so hard? It's related to how hard it is.
There's resistances to your information coming through. The resistances come through the people
People.
who would be receiving it.
Yeah, the people.
And so in this case, your mother's cooking, although she was doing the best she could in her mind to feed you and nourish you, she was giving you food that you were allergic
Allergic
to.
to, yeah.
So every time she fed you, it would be,
I get sick.
you'd get sick, yeah.
Yes.
Unfortunate.
Yes, very unfortunate. As a tiny kid, I barely ate anything. My mother, stressed out at my refusal to eat yet again, said that I better eat because one day I may not have any food at all, and then I would be sad that I didn't eat it when I had it. It was a complex thought for a young kid who cannot even conceive of the future.
You barely have time now.
I know. But it sent me into fear anyways. The moment I felt that fear, and I felt it in my entire body actually, I heard a voice. I heard a powerful voice. The powerful voice of Gaia. She smiled at me and said, "Don't be afraid. You will always receive whatever it is you need, want, or choose. You will never go hungry in any form." With that sentence came the knowing that the only times I might experience lack were the times I was afraid of that lack. The fear would bring it about. That, in fact, lack did not exist for me or anyone.
Well, plenty of her experience lack.
No, it doesn't exist.
Not in their mind, it does.
Yeah, in their minds, through that fear,
And I'm sure
but it
if you
doesn't
ask
actually
them,
exist.
I don't see how that's a true statement.
There's not another planet.
I've observed plenty of people existing in lack.
Exactly, they're existing in it,
Yes,
creating it,
it
but it doesn't
exists
actually
through their
exist.
creation. Well, when you say it doesn't actually exist, what you're saying is something different than what we hear when you say that.
And what do you hear?
What we hear when you say that is that no animals, for instance, go into a place where there's no water and die of no water. But we know that's true because we see it. We hear there's no people starving to death somewhere in the world, but we see the pictures, so we know people did starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
So they're experiencing a huge amount of lack, despite maybe they're afraid. I mean, they can't all be afraid of it. So we don't understand.
They are, actually. They are.
Well, we can't prove or disprove that.
I can. When I was older, at seven, I was seven or eight, I think, my family went into starvation mode. We had no money to eat, and we had no food, nothing. It was so sad, in fact, that my mom left, and my sister, my older sister, my brother and I were left on our own because she couldn't watch us starve to death. My sister got a job washing dishes in a bar, and with the meager pennies that she got, she bought some corn meal thing. She took it home. She cooked it, and she fed us, her little brother and sister, this corn meal. And I refused it. It was disgusting, and I wouldn't eat it. And she got really upset. She said, "You have to eat it, otherwise you're going to die." And I said, "I don't care. I'm not eating this." And in her desperation, she said, "Well, what do you want? What will you eat?" Because, again, this was the history of me not eating anything, right?
Yeah, you're not allergic to cornmeal.
No, but it was disgusting. And
for you?
Yes. My brother was gobbling it up because he was so starving, right?
It's good anyways.
As a matter of interest, I was not hungry. My brother and sister were very, very hungry, but I wasn't.
That's
which is another thing, right?
Another good point.
Yeah. Anyways, I looked at the question. I felt it was a genuine question. So I said, "I'll have a steak sandwich. Just bread and meat. That's what I want." And she looked at me and started crying because there was no way she was going to be able to buy bread or meat. The next day, she went to work doing the dishes after school. And then during that period of time where she was doing her dishes, two men came in to the bar. One was a baker, and he had a bag of bread that he wasn't able to sell in the morning and he needed to make fresh in the afternoon or something like that. He said, "I got this bag of bread, I don't know what to do." And he looked at my sister and said, "Do you want it?" And she said, "Yes." I picked it up and saved it. And then a little while later, another man comes in, it's the butcher. He says, "I got way too much meat today and it's going to go bad if somebody doesn't eat it." And looked at my sister, "Would you like it?" And my sister said, "Yes, I'll take it." And then she came home and she cooked the meat and the bread, not the bread, but she cooked the meat, put it on the bread and gave it to me. So that there, it's what you wanted. And she was fascinated and happy that she had manifested what I wanted to eat, right?
Right.
This is how she saw it.
Well, also, I mean, she's the vehicle for the meat and bread, but she was also in a huge amount of fear.
But I wasn't. And that's what I wanted. So the orchestration and that voice of the human collective and Gaia was right. I would never go without anything I wanted or chose, I would have. That was it.
I don't disagree that you got that experience.
It was starvation. You said there's people around the planet who are starving, who are not creating this. I'm saying to you, yes, they are.
That they're the ones.
And fear. Exactly. Right. The best my sister could come up with was that corn thing, and eventually they would have died of malnourishment. As a matter of fact, after that, everything improved. And we were able to eat again, and eventually my mom came back.
Right.
So, when you're stuck in that fear, yes, you will starve to death. You have no choice. You're stuck in it. You can't see beyond it. Once you step out of it, you can see more and you can create something different.
How did the Flow to Me music help accomplish that for someone who's maybe in that fear?
It bypasses all the buts. Like, you know, you were talking about somebody who's starving in Africa or whatever, or in New York streets, but they don't, that's not going to work for them, right? But it bypasses all of that.
Yeah, what I said was that they can't all be in a fear of starving. Some of them don't even care about food. They starve themselves because they're addicted to stuff, right?
They're starving in other ways, right?
They're just. We don't know what everyone's feeling, but we just have to take on the word that you're sharing, that the reason they're starving is they're afraid of lack. So if people are not afraid of lack, then they won't have it. But only by being afraid of it do they have it.
So let's say somebody has a psychological condition where they starve themselves on purpose just to lose weight. Let's say that.
That's pretty hypothetical. But I guess
It's not really hypothetical,
there's
but yeah.
bulimics and anorexics and things
Exactly.
like that.
Yeah.
They don't exactly, they have a fear, but it's not necessarily a fear of lack. They have fear
Exactly.
of
There's a fear of lack of
something
beauty,
that brings about
right?
a lack of food
Yes.
or a lack of
This
nutrients or a lack of
experience.
something.
So lack in itself, not just starvation, but lack is based on fear. Fear of not having. And that is propagated in this light dark paradigm in society. Oh my gosh, in the ways billions of dollars are used every day, every minute to propagate this fear of lack.
Right, so this is specific to humans, not to animals,
Oh.
because animals
They make
die
the
of
wrong
lack all the
choices.
time.
They do the wrong choices and
Order
they
in
waste their
the
time.
cycle of
They're gonna die now.
bunch to little to a
Yes,
bunch to little.
exactly.
They're not like operating with fear as a co-creator of a
Look at
reality. They're
humans.
not
They don't
a
create
reality
reality.
co-creator.
No, they're not a
They're a
co-creator.
reality experiencer,
Yes.
but not a creator.
Right.
So that's one of the specific things that,
One of the differences between humans and animals.
right, because we as logical humans, we like to logically def figure out why are people living in lack, and we make excuses for it, like it's not in their control. And so if we do place it in their control, then we enter into that realm of people who are, called victim shamers or victim blamers. It's your fault. You're the victim. And it doesn't feel good.
Right.
Because we don't feel like bad things happen to people, not always their fault.
Well, it's not their fault. They're stuck in a cycle. Do you see? They're stuck in a cycle of fear, victim, aggressor, power over others. They're stuck in these cycles. So they can't get out. It's not their fault that they're in there. But if they expand their awareness and they see that they're in that cycle, they actually can step out.
Choose
They can choose
to
to step out
or not.
or not.
Because
Yes.
sometimes they actually do want to
I
experience
know.
and not,
They choose to stay and we're like, the hell just happened?
and it's
And it's
not
not,
that uncommon
no, it's not uncommon.
because it just isn't. So it takes a little bit of I think that this is where the music helps because it bypasses this logic.
Yeah, it does. It bypasses the what you call shaming or the stuckness and all of that. It bypasses it, goes straight into the neurons.
The quantum field.
The quantum field, yes.
Okay.
Yes. The little bits. So with this sentence came the knowing that not the only times I might experience lack were the times I was afraid of lack. The fear would bring it about. That in fact lack did not exist for me or anyone. You still stuck on that one?
Well, the statement doesn't ring true because lack does exist for people, but through their choice.
It's an illusion and they
Right, so it
choose to believe it.
exists.
It
It
doesn't
exists.
exist. It's not real. There's no lack. People can choose to pretend there's lack and have it in their life, but it's not real.
Okay, I need an analogy.
Okay, so this floor that we're stepping on is real. It's physical and it's real and it's there. And that's why we don't go straight and our butts hit the ground beneath it.
So if they had painted on the floor a hole that looks like a hole, like you see in New York, I think it's in Vegas or some places, they have the sidewalk and then a spec a like painting that looks like it drops off and kind of crumbles, and then you're walking up to it and people are like,
Yes, this react
so lack is
this.
that
It's
illusion
an
that there's a
illusion.
hole in the sidewalk, but there
Yeah,
isn't.
yeah. And some people will actually not go through it. They'll walk around it because they go, "There's a, I know there's no hole there, but it looks so
I'm still
real.
not walking.
I'm not going to walk on it. I'm going to walk around it."
Right.
So that's what happens.
So lack is literally a painted thing on a sidewalk. Yeah, it's not actually there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, with that analogy, I think we can move on.
Okay.
I mean, it was important because it doesn't ring true with our experience.
Yeah. To me, the times that somebody came up and said, oh my God, we don't have enough money for the mortgage this month. And what are we going to do? It's like, and I go into fear that moment. It happens. Right. But it's like, oh shit, you look at my bank account. There's no money, it's going in the red. Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. And then wait a minute. No, this is not right. This is just an illusion. I'm stepping out of that. We'll have plenty. It doesn't matter. The next hour or so, some income comes in and covers the mortgage completely. And extra, right? So that's the whole thing. You step into fear. When I stepped into fear, it's the only time I've experienced lack.
So when fear comes, what should you do?
You can process your fear.
Start with process your fear.
Yeah.
Right. And then it might enter into a different frequency entirely, like with this song's Flow to Me's.
Exactly, yeah.
Enter the quantum field of manifestation by playing that music for a little while.
Yes, yeah.
And then I don't think once you've entered the quantum field of manifestation, lack is the thing you're going to like pull out of it. But it could happen.
It could happen.
Try not to.
Try not to do that. Try yeah.
Do that. Okay.
Try to stay on moon.
All right. I mean, it sounds absurd. I agree. It sounds absurd. But it does sound like
to you.
Something. No, it doesn't just sound absurd to me. We got a million people listening. They're going like, yeah, so I'll process my fear, listen to your music, and then everything will be fine and my mortgage is paid. It can be true. You can't find out until you try it. I mean, I can say for sure, right? Remember when I was mm-hmm. fishing for greenies?
Yes.
And my boat was the only one caught 1,000,000 pounds and everyone else's boat caught how much?
I don't know. None.
None. They actually took their nets off and gave it up.
Yeah.
That's how much none. And I was just reaching into the quantum field. I wasn't doing anything other than that different.
Right.
And I shared that, how to do it with them people.
Mm-hmm.
The other fishermen, they asked me.
Yeah, they did.
After they sent the cops after me.
Right.
Because yeah. I'm cheating. Cheating.
Yes.
And then when the cops said, well,
he's not cheating.
It's not cheating. It's like, well, then what are you doing? I told them. And it was literally music I was playing.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, I play this music, sing along with it.
and then
the fish will school up and then you can catch them. And they say, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
They didn't do it.
No, they didn't.
So this is like that.
It is.
You can do this and watch what happens, or you can say it won't work and not do it.
Exactly.
That's up to you.
That's entirely up to you. Entirely up to you. So when I was a little kid, mm-hmm. after I heard that voice, I smiled back and pushed my plate away.
I'm sure you made your mama so happy. It's like, fine then. Did you say fine then, or you just pushed it away?
Just pushed it away. I didn't have that type of attitude yet, you know?
You didn't have that attitude yet? You learned that over time? Okay.
Yes. Thinking about the song I wanted to create, my thought went to that point in time when the knowing came to me as a tiny kid that everything I want or need would come to me and that I could pick what I wanted and refuse what I didn't want without fear. What does that feeling feel like?
It feels like what our dog is, Princess Beauty.
Yeah?
She's just yes or no. And then it's like, no, I don't want that food unless it's split apart a little bit. Did you become like a little princess about this?
I was always a little princess about everything.
Okay, then.
Don't know if you've noticed.
Yes, indeed.
it annoys the crap out of people.
Not me, honey.
Yeah, sure.
I'm happy. Most times, I'm happy.
Most times.
To indulge your princess.
So, what does that feeling feel like?
Which one?
Knowing that whatever I want or need would come to me and that I could pick what I wanted and refuse what I didn't want without fear. What does that feeling feel like? How do we step into that energy, frequency, and knowing? That's a song I want. And not just a song, but a whole collection. A
collection of them.
I knew it was not going to be just one song, but a group of songs that spoke to different people on Earth through different styles. Songs that transport you into that quantum field of manifestation where everything you want or need or choose will easily flow to you. How it feels to know everything is there for us to have, and it is our choices that dictate what we take or leave. Not just what we experience, but what we don't experience too. I ran my thoughts and knowings about what I understood being in the flow was to me through an AI, and I asked it to make some lyrics out of it. What came out was a good structure, a good starting point, but understandably it needed heavy editing. Do you want to talk about
I tried a few songs. I used a thing called Songer, I think, and it just put in the genres I wanted. And then I put like my chickens are pecking and scratching on the front with my cats or something like that. Even. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with a country song. And it's a bit silly. It doesn't transport you to the quantum field.
I noticed.
But you get a giggle. Right? Yes.
You get a thumbs up.
You get a thumbs up. Yes. Yeah, but, you know, while it was entertaining and it's silly, I actually haven't even myself listened to the complete song, and I'm never transported to the quantum field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you stop listening after like 30 seconds or something.
30 seconds or so. Yeah. I mean, it's cute.
Yeah.
So to think that you could just... give me a good song, AI, and the lyrics pop out, and that's not the process that you're using.
No, not the one I'm using, but people can do that,
and they can have entertaining results. Yeah. Right?
They can have all sorts of
true. Things come out. I mean, a real artist who's making a song, who's writing it word by word, downloading it from the etheric into manifest into reality, a real true artist who's really connected. Mm-hmm. Their lyrics. They'll say themselves, they came to them, mm-hmm. not I wrote them.
Right.
Came to them. So the AI generates a outline or a structure. You still have to do the quantum work. Connection.
Yes, you still have to do it. Because the AI, like we talked about on our live call the other day, it's such a start of the human collective. And the like human collective on the internet is like dark, mostly dark. So...
yeah.
You're going to have to be very careful.
Remember that.
And review every single word in what comes out. You know, test it for frequency, energy, and all the things.
That was one of the issues, remember, our friend Cliff had with his future projection software, mm-hmm. collecting data off of the internet, scraping the internet, mm-hmm. to get the emotional context of what's mm-hmm. going on. And all of his information began to be falsely amplified by... AI okay. outputs and the dark side of that. And the AIs go dark for some reason.
Well, to me, the times that it has gone dark is the times I wasn't feeling too good. If I was overtired or cranky or upset about something and I tried to create something or even pull in like a structure for lyrics or even in the music thingy, what came out was not good. It was not good at all. But at the same time, when I was... really stepping into that quantum field as a we to get the really fine detailed aspects of that frequency that the human collective does want, it broke the AIs, both the written one and the music one. Literally yeah. broke them.
I remember like coming up to listen to you play. And you played the music and it went... I was like, what the heck kind of song is that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I broke it.
Yeah. So yeah. It's about frequencies and you do affect it. I remember years ago, there was this release of somebody experimenting with computers. And the test they did was to place a computer that generated
random numbers.
Yeah, that was just decades ago.
SRI, I think, was doing that. I was just listening to a interview with McNaughton. He's RV number 001. They like interviewed 30,000 soldiers to figure out and recruit remote viewers for their program.
Okay.
He was the very first one to make it through the selection. He actually developed, he said it had always been part of his life, mm-hmm. since he was a child, but it got really fine-tuned by being a radio man/scout mm-hmm. in Vietnam mm-hmm. because He had to sense where he's going to get killed before he would get killed so he could stop his squad from getting killed.
Yes.
So that was like one of the most dangerous jobs in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And through that fine tuning and listening to that impression, the voice and fine tuning it, he kept that with him. And I mean, that's a hardcore way to develop your remote viewing
yeah.
and skills.
You don't have to do that.
It's not the only way. But it did work for him. Yeah. But, you know, it colors, I'm sure, what he sees.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Not to mention who he does the work for.
This research that they did many decades ago was to have this computer do random generated numbers. And it was literally random. Mm-hmm. And then they brought in people and they gave them a number that they wanted the computer to give them as a random generated number. Let's say 52. Right. And then the computer started giving an enormous amount of 52s within their random generation.
Yeah, that was, I think, their telekinesis experiments. They started with trying to get a tension meter in a vacuum to show movement.
Oh, yeah, that's in
there. Crux did it instead, so they tried to isolate it. You know, he was just telling the story, just listened.
Yeah, but that one, that's not the random generator.
I know, but they moved to that one because it couldn't get
that one. It's actually in one of the children's museums in California. And children, it's like standing up, actually. You have to move the little dial nowadays. And the children will look at it and the thing starts moving.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Yeah.
They had trouble with theirs because they couldn't isolate it from the Earth.
From the Earth, yeah. Yeah, the one in California is surrounded by stuff, so they figured it out eventually. So that you can't really knock it on the side to make it move.
Well, theirs was a truck a mile away. They had a big yard. The truck set in tremors in the earth and it would alter the little thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
They couldn't isolate.
You could really isolate the one in the museum. So what my point is that the person can influence computers.
Totally agree.
And the AI is just a computer.
Yes, you're not restricted by time distance.
No, you're not restricted because of the quantum field. You're everywhere.
Right.
You're not restricted. Okay. So you do affect it.
Yes. And it isn't.
Not just affected by
it. It isn't like the secret cabal collecting some form of mind reading to get the AI to reflect a negative thing to you. It's you.
Yeah, at the time. Although...
Not you specifically, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but if I just press it random, like without in, like...
Oh, yeah,
it's failed.
I think...
Unless, when I don't give it in, like, very, very, a prompt that's extremely detailed, it will come out with negative ass things, right?
Right, and I think that's in reflection of the human collective level, as
yes,
a majority are attracted and enticed and engaged by the dark aspect thing. So when you're engaging with a collective computer,
the human
computer is going to like
go
be
that
nudging
way.
That direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you have the slightest bit of it, it's going to amplify.
Or if you don't put any type of intent not to have it, it will come.
Right. That's its default.
Yes.
So you did mention that AI reflects your current feelings in its outputs. How did you make sure the Flow to Me songs are pristine?
By stepping, making sure that my energy was pristine when I created them.
Does the listener's emotions or mental state affect their ability to receive those frequencies? Do they need to be in open mode? I mean,
I don't think
to some degree they have to be able to want to listen, right?
I think that the people who choose not to... the people who choose not to press play will get any excuse not to press play because they know it's going to affect them and they're choosing at a higher self level not to be affected in this quantum way. So they choose not to press play and their excuses could be, it's AI, it's not real. It's not a real word. It's not a real person.
Indian music. I don't like that kind of
stuff. I don't like Indian music.
House music? No.
No.
I would never listen to house.
I don't like pop and synth.
I definitely don't like.
I don't like Inelia.
I don't like high voices, low voices.
Yeah.
I
don't like high pitch. It's got an accent. I'm not going to listen to that. Right?
Yes.
So she can't write properly.
Right.
Any excuse will be used not to press play. But that's the choice. And if you do choose to press play, boom.
You have chosen differently.
You have chosen differently.
Cool.
Okay, so my process is to read each line that comes out of the AI for hidden dark agendas. Yes, AI is learning from the light dark, not just the light. Translating that into what I actually want to express and basically pulling the frequencies that are what I want to experience.
And that's the flow state as you started at the top. The ability to exist in that space that doesn't have lack.
Exactly. Or fear.
Or fear.
Yeah. That beautiful place. That who we are.
Yes.
So I'm asking you to come home, right? Come to your true frequency. Having played with AI tools for a while, I also found out that whatever I'm feeling at the time comes out in the AI results. Not easy to explain the mechanics in a short article, but let's just say that whatever you're feeling or experiencing in life will reflect directly into the results you get from the AI. You can literally place the same prompt twice, once feeling bad and once feeling good, and what the AI gives you each time will reflect those feelings. If you haven't already, watch my video where I explain how to use these AI tools in a safe and high-frequency way, which is on my YouTube channel. And you can access the recording also from DDTR. Yeah, right, okay. Otherwise.
Hope so.
Mm-hmm. We will be posting all the links everywhere, so you can choose. You can find it. I use the AI as an instrument, like playing a synth keyboard. In my personal experience, it is not possible for an AI to express true human. It can only copy what is already there, mix-match it to please, but not actually create. Especially when you want to express your personal human experience, history, or flow. That requires you. So you can grab the whole flow to me, all six songs, at ineliarecords.com. And if you want all the music before it becomes publicly available that I'm creating, you can become a Backstage Pass member at ineliarecords.com.
I mean, that place is full.
Yes.
There's a lot of good music there. I mean, you want to experience this. Flow to Me is maybe, 5% of the output.
Probably less.
Maybe less. Yes. And it takes you to this quantum field.
Yeah.
The other music does all kinds of things.
And we're going to play one of the songs as we close this first half.
Okay.
Before we go into the Wisdom Keeper Hour.
All right. I like it.
The artists I express through our full characters were recruited, in inverted commas.
Recruited from, by the we.
From the High Frequency Human Collective. Their creation is very similar to how I write books. I feel into the energy that I want to express. I get bits of information from it. Slowly, the character starts forming. After a few days, each character has a full life, personality, family, home. They're fully rounded characters. It is related to the we. I use singular first-person pronoun when I express this process of creation, but the process is from the perspective of my other awareness or perspective, which I fondly call the we. Not a very creative name, but something that encapsulates the difference between singular Inelia and my actual self. And more about this on the second hour.
Okay, yeah, these characters are an interesting thing to conceive, in a sense. They're mini-yous.
Because the human collective is broad, I would say that they're not really mini-me's.
You know what I mean by mini-me?
Kind of different aspects of me, of we.
Different aspects of the we in a singular form, except for, specifically for the purpose of that one output. Maybe the singer, one of the singer characters is a refined version of you specifically for that genre of music and that time and space, a mini-me. They have a smaller incarnation.
Not just me, but I've taken real people that I know or I have experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And or even peoples, like a whole culture. And I have taken the best of that, what is in the light, and embodied them into a group or a person.
Cool. Let's experience some of that right now.
Okay, let's listen.
Cut to music. Oh, wait, give me a kiss first. Cut to music.
What struck me was when you said that luck does not exist in reality.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a clincher. Huh? That was a tough one yes. to get through.
It was very tough because it is an experience. It's very physical experience. And it's like, I can't get it. Like, how can somebody say there is no luck in reality? And I was thinking about that analogy that Larry came with. And I said, oh, I don't feel satisfied with that. And I was thinking, okay, what anything else I can find? So I can, how can I say? I can
take it on board, accept it as
yes.
possibly mm-hmm. real.
Tell me all about it.
Tell me all about it.
There's so many things. I love the Flow to Me soundtracks. They are life-changing. Like, I think I've mentioned this before in other episodes, but I'll listen to your music and I'll just like cry, you know?
Yes.
And they'll get stuck in my head, like Alicia's song. I love hers, but I also love Luke. And
I know,
they're so,
it's so
good.
Difficult to
I
choose.
I love them all, yeah. And I just keep it on repeat.
So, which is your favorite flow?
Ooh. It's just really nice. Yeah. It's just very amazing. All the songs. Different styles, but right now my favorite one.
Oh, you have a favorite? Yeah.
No, I don't have a favorite.
Oh.
But the one that gave me some insights, or like I have like a resonance. You know, when you were talking about the quantum music,
mm-hmm.
that was Iron Cedar.
Mm,
it was
yes.
really cool.
Yes.
It was a phrase specific, like something I know it in my heart,
mm-hmm.
and like I just let it come, and I choose what. What is for me, something like that.
So there's a high frequency lyrics.
Yes.
And then there's the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And the melodies are also high frequency melodies.
They are? Yes.
Brought in each one.
Yes. But they're very different from each other because everybody has different tastes.
So it goes by taste.
Yes.
So that's
and culture
good.
Sometimes too. And generation sometimes.
That is good.
So that's why there was that large interest by the weed to bring it in different genres or styles because it touches and it's liked by different peoples of the planet.
That is perfect.
While others, yeah. I'm not that fond of that one. I don't think I will play it.
Join us for the rest of this conversation at driveintotherez.com.
And when you go to driveintotherez.com and you join in the rest of the show, rest of the second hour, you also get to join in the after party, 9 o'clock on Fridays. We all get together, including you,